in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. If you're visiting with us tonight, may I just say again, thank you so much for being here with us. We are encouraged to see those that we haven't seen in a while. Encouraged to see those that are back with family where they belong, back here in Beaumont, Texas, and others that we have not yet met. We thank you so much for your presence. We pray that our worship will be found to be in spirit and in truth, first and foremost by our God. And we hope that it will be of some benefit to you as we study these things tonight. Well, our lesson tonight is entitled, Is Your Heart Ready? We've been talking a lot about our hearts. We've been talking a lot about transformation. We've been talking about the book of Ezra and Ezra and his demeanor and his want to study the scriptures, to do the scriptures and go out and teach the scriptures. So I ask you tonight, before we get into our outlines together, where is your heart tonight? Where is it? See, we have an entire year of which we need to be building step by step, month by month, and growing as Christians, doing more as Christians for one another, doing more for the community around us. But it all starts with our heart. So I ask you tonight that as we go through these things, as we read from these scriptures, that you ask yourself, is your heart ready to grow in 2015? Is it ready to show love towards one another, to serve one another, to go out into the world and to share the gospel with other people? Because if your heart isn't ready tonight, let me tell you what, it doesn't matter what we preach on the rest of this year, your heart won't be ready to receive it, to receive God's word and to want to grow. So I encourage you tonight, consider where you're at spiritually, consider where we want to be at the end of this year, and we'll begin in point number one by looking in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 2 and 3. I want to begin by looking at just a few examples, beginning in the very first of the scriptures, looking at people's lives, looking at how they reacted, their consequences for their actions. Genesis chapter 2 and 3, talking about Adam and Eve. If we will look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Flipping over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. A command is given. And yet here is the actions. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The command is simple. One command to Adam and Eve in this perfect garden, in this perfect place. Do not disobey this one command I have given you. What did they do? They fell into temptation. They disobeyed the one thing God told them not to do. And for that, the consequences begin in verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle. Verse 16, to the woman he said, and there's a curse. Verse 17, to Adam he said, because you have. And there's curses for all three involved in this manner. So what's the result? Curses. Verse 24. So he drove the man out. They were kicked out of the garden. There's consequences for our actions. Another example to look at is in Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. But Cain, for his offering, he had no regard in speaking of God. It says, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain continues, and his anger is not lifted. He goes and he kills his brother. And then the result, God curses him. Brethren, we should look at these things and ask ourselves, how much different are we from the people in the very beginning of time? We have commandments. Are we following? Where is our heart? Much like David, I told David, he had a really good sermon this morning, but I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't steal most of my points for tonight. We're going to be a lot on the same mind tonight, and that's okay, because these are important parts to look at. Something I want to point out, a little different than he did this morning, is back in verse 7. We know what happens to Cain. We know the results. We know that he's punished. But I want to go back to something that God said to him in verse 7. Said, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. When I think of this, I think of, let me go back to my, there we go. When I think of that, I think about the New Testament commandment. And I think about us and how we're supposed to be prepared for the devil. Prepared that he is there going to be prowling around for us. I want to take a look exactly at that scripture in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to look at more examples and just one final one with you in the flood. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 really starts to bring this to a head of man and temptation and sin and what God feels about his creation. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. Read that with me, would you? So the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky. I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 12. God looked on the earth, behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Verse 13 at the end, he says, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Of course, we know that God did destroy them. We know that there's sin in everyone's life. And we know that there should be consequences for those sins. I'm going to turn to chapter 8, verse 21. Chapter 8, verse 21 brings this to a conclusion. The earth has been flooded. The ark is coming back down to earth. Noah is back out offering a sacrifice. Verse 21 is where we pick up. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. I will never again destroy every living thing as I've done. So where I'm going to bring all this is looking through these examples and ending with this exact scripture. This man is sinful. We're all sinful. We have a tendency sometimes to say in our hearts, well, there's sin in all of us. There's sin in me and sin in my brother and sin in everybody in the world. And it's not our fault. And if there's a little bit of sin in our life, well, what's the big deal? Everybody sins. Isn't that why Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins? And we should continue to be able to do a little bit of sin, harbor a little bit of that in our heart, as long as God is there to forgive us later? Brother, that's the wrong mindset. We've all done it, right? We've all said to ourselves, I'm pretty good, I'm better than most, I'm a Christian, I go to worship services, I do this, I do that. What's the big deal if there's a little bit of sin involved in my life? Well, the big deal is that God hates it and he punishes it. That's the big deal. We read these in the accounts. We could keep reading and be here all night to look at every account in the Bible of sin and its consequences and see how God hates it and he punishes it. I've often said that perhaps one of the downfalls of being a New Testament Christian is perhaps the fact that under the old law, the way God dealt with people and interacted with people was in a way that if he felt that something needed to be taken care of immediately, he would. New Testament times, that's not the case. We don't see people being struck down as we did underneath the old law. Perhaps that would help us a little more, that we would fear God a little bit more, like John Tom spoke about last Sunday, if that was the case. Brother, I just want us to prepare our heart for the entire year to understand that whatever it is in your life that you're harboring, even though you might make an excuse and might say it's just something small and mostly I'm a good person, understand that whatever it is in your heart that's still sinful, God hates it. And whether you're punished today or not, we will be punished for it if we don't remove it from our lives. Going back to what I was talking about a minute ago, God asked Cain to master over temptation, master over sin in his life. I alluded to wanting to go to the New Testament. Let's do that now at 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Times haven't changed since the Old Testament, brethren. To Cain, it was said, sin is crouching at the door. To us as New Testament Christians, he's prowling around like a roaring lion. But what's the two things we can take? God tells Cain, master it. For us, he says, be on the alert. Where is your heart tonight, brethren? Have you been really paying attention to the lessons? Have you been really paying attention to the Wednesday night invitations? The things the elders have been telling us to prep our mind for the rest of this year? Or are we just attending worship, just listening and saying, well, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm giving most of my life to God, I think everything's okay. That reminds me of something that Jesus said, Matthew 16:24. He said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How are we doing in our daily lives at denying ourselves and following the word of God? I understand that I'm speaking to a group of people that are mostly God's children. It's on a Sunday night. I understand the dedication you have. You're here. I get that. But it doesn't mean that every single one of us can't continue to grow. That's what's being set up for us here in 2015. It's what's being set up by the theme, by the scriptures that Russ and I have chosen. For wherever we're at, whether spiritually weak or spiritually strong, that we can still grow. We still have room in our lives to deny more of ourself. We have room in our hearts to be more transformed like Ezra was. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. I'm using the New American Standard Version here. For Ezra had set, New King James prepared. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. May I just close with this thought before moving on to point number two. Here's what I see from these examples we've read and the applications I've pulled out. Growing this year in 2015 is not something that's going to happen just by attending worship services, just by attending classes. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to be a better leader in your home, if I want to be a better leader in my home, we have to put forth effort. We have to watch out for Satan. We have to want to set our hearts to study the law of the Lord more, to practice it more than we have, and to teach it to others around us. That's what we must do. Point number two this evening. Why such a focus? Why such a focus on the heart this year? This is going to be my last time for the month of January to be able to present a lesson regarding any of these things. I want to make sure that we realize the importance of focusing on the heart. Focusing on building upon each month this year, building upon our faith, growing as individuals and as a congregation of God's people. Why do we need to focus so much on the heart this year? May I give you one reason why? Because our hearts can fail us. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Understand, brethren, that though we are Christians, we are fallible. If we just want to trust our own hearts, it can fail us. It's deceitful. the things that we want to think about, the things that we want to do can lead us down a path that is not pleasing to God. And everything springs forth from our heart, the way that we worship, our attendance to worship, how often we crack open our Bibles, how we pray at home, the leadership that we show to our kids, our grandchildren. Everything stems from the heart. If we leave it to our own devices, we can fail God. That's why we focus on the heart in the scriptures this year. Secondly, our ways can lead us astray. If left to our own ways and our own judgments, our own decisions, we can be led astray from God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. May I suggest to you, thinking about our hearts this year, it's not just a catchphrase. It's not just something to make up so we can talk about it. Not just a theme. So for the sake of having a theme and saying we're doing something, it's so that we can focus on something. We can focus on God. Focus on our ways in alliance with God's word. If we're left to our own devices, we can be led astray. We can fail God. If we're left to our own thoughts, we can be deceived. There are millions of people in the world today that with all of their heart, notice I said their heart, they feel like they're going to heaven, that they're pleasing to God, that they're doing whatever in their life, and they think it's pleasing. Brethren, don't misunderstand that while we're talking about the heart this year, that we're talking about just do whatever you think, do whatever you feel. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about lining up our heart with God and His Word. Our own thoughts can deceive us, and millions of people will unfortunately be in that case on the day of judgment, and that's a sad thing. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brethren, we focus on the heart this year in alliance, in alignment to God's word, so that we don't deceive ourselves, that we're not led astray, that we do not fail God. Let me give you a fourth and final reason that we should focus so much on the heart this year. It's because our thoughts, left to ourselves, can lead to death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It is important this year, brethren, that we focus on our hearts. It's important for me tonight to suggest that you need to prepare your heart. I have the list in my hand of all of the scriptures that we're going to focus on this year. I encourage you to take one of the lists. They're out there in the lobby. Pin it to the refrigerator. Pin it to whatever, to the mirror. Take a look at these steps. Take a look at these scriptures. Take a look at the things that we're going to be studying this year. Why? Because we want to plan our growth. We want to think about our spiritual lives. As I look at this list, to me, if our hearts aren't in the right place this month, then it's going to be hard for us to grow on any other of these concepts in these scriptures. Some of the things we're going to be looking at this year, with all of our heart, we'll keep His commandments. With all of our heart, we'll guard our heart. With all of our heart, we'll remain pure. We'll worship in spirit and truth. We'll study God's word. We'll work. We'll lead our families. We'll reach the lost. But brethren, if our heart isn't right tonight, it's going to be hard for us to accomplish any of these other tasks for the rest of the year. To really grow in the word of God, to grow spiritually, and to lead anybody else to Christ, if our hearts aren't in the right place. It's important that we get our hearts in line with the word of God. Where is your heart tonight? You know, we're already getting almost to the end of January, it's already the time when people have started to bail out on their New Year's resolutions, exercising, dieting, whatever it is. Did you feel on fire for the Lord perhaps the first Sunday and you thought about how you want to grow as a Christian? Has it already started to creep away? Has the job already gotten in the way? The children gotten in the way? All the things we do, are they starting to get in the way already? Refocus, brethren. The most important thing we will ever do is be a Christian, be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and continue to grow in Him. Let's make sure that our heart this month is ready, is prepped, is set on growing in all of these things we'll continue in for the rest of the year. Would you go with me in your New Testaments to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'd like to read what we commonly call the parable of the sowers. Chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. When a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The first is this. It says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. That's the first. The second soil. And the other seed fell on the rocky soil. And as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The third one in verse 7. The other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. The fourth is in verse 8. And the other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I got to think that most of us tonight would read through this parable and we would say to ourselves, if we had to look at one that most closely resembled our lives, I would think most of us would go to verse 8. The other seed fell into the good soil, grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. We would say we're Christians. We're doing everything that we need to do. We are the good soil. But I just want to warn us, brethren, much like David did this morning. Just warn us. If we don't watch our lives, if we don't watch our actions, watch where our thoughts are, watch the things that we do and we say when other Christians aren't around, when nobody's looking, that perhaps our life might more resemble verse 7 when it said the other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Where is our heart this evening? Is it 100% dedicated to God? 90? 75? 50? See, if we're not 100% dedicated to God in our lives, our daily lives, when nobody's looking, then we will be like this soil. When the thorns of work, the thorns of our children, our grandchildren, our hobbies, they'll begin to choke out God's word. And then it really doesn't matter what Russ and I preach for the rest of the year. It doesn't matter what the Bible classes say. It doesn't matter what the Wednesday night invitations are. If things are choking out your faith, brethren, there's none of this that's going to apply. You're not going to grow like you want to grow, like God wants you to grow. Because your heart was never right. We begin talking this year about our hearts transforming to the Word of God. Like Ezra, setting, preparing our hearts, just like the soil. We need to prepare our hearts like good soil so that we don't have thorns in our lives. We don't have distractions in our lives. Point number 3 with you this evening. I just want to, in light of Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, I just want us to consider things that are happening in our life. And this is what I told David. This is trying to do very much what he ended with this morning. And I just want to look at some signs of an unprepared heart. And I want us to honestly evaluate ourselves and see where we're at. Because if we're going to grow spiritually as an individual and as a church, then we have to make sure this month to go ahead and prepare our hearts, get our minds right. Get our minds and our hearts right that God will be number one this year. Nothing else will come before him. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be a better example. I'm going to be more Christ-like. Even if you feel like you're doing so well in 2014, it doesn't mean that we can't grow further. The first sign of an unprepared heart for me is attending worship out of expectation. I'm bringing this from my thought and touching on something that John Tom spoke of last Sunday morning. It could be that many of us could come to worship because we think we're just supposed to do it. Because that's the way we were raised. We don't want other people in the church to call us on Monday morning and ask us, where were you? So we show up, but our heart isn't in it. Well, brethren, God wants our heart to be in it. That's what he means when he says worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just an attendance thing. It's not a box to check off. It's something where our minds and our spirit should be in everything that we're doing here tonight that we did this morning. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Brethren, the reason to be here this evening, worshiping, studying, singing praises, praying, taking of the Lord's Supper, should not be to impress who's sitting beside you. Where is your heart? Did you want to be here tonight, or are you here tonight because you felt an obligation to a commandment of men, to somebody sitting beside you, your wife, your husband, your family? This is the time, brethren, to consider where we're at. This is the time to rededicate ourselves. This is the time to say, I want to change. I want to grow. Let's make sure that we don't have any of these signs in our life of an unprepared heart. A second sign of an unprepared heart is caring about what is popular over what is right before God. How are we doing at our jobs? How are we doing around our children's parents, around our social circles? When somebody wants to do something you know is ungodly, it's a gray area for you. Do you say to yourself, I will not do this. I will be righteous. I will be a light. I will be salt. Or do you say to yourself, well, none of my other Christian friends around, I don't think it's that bad. And you start making excuses for actions that you take in your life. David touched on it this morning. And he taught us how we need to be of the mindset that we care more about what God thinks than what other people think. But it's the way our culture is. It creeps into our lives, even as Christians. So the question we have to ask ourselves when we go home tonight is, how much of the world has crept in? How much am I willing to put other things in my life above God? Brethren, if we're going to be serious about being Christians, being Christ-like, we're going to be serious about growing as a congregation, then we can't have this in our life. We can't be putting other things before God. Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Brethren, it's easy. It's easy to please men. You can sin all day long and have people of the world think you're the greatest person ever. But what matters is making sure that you're pleasing to God. When nobody's looking, when nobody's around, are we putting what is popular over what is right to God? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. To the church of Sardis, it says, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. It's a warning to us, brethren. It's a warning that there was a church spoken of in Revelation chapter 3 that everybody around them, other Christians, other people in the world, thought they were great, thought they were a great group of Christians. But what did God think about them? God thought they were dead because of their actions. Because they were more worried about pleasing the people around them than they were of pleasing God. I'll give you a third sign of an unprepared heart. Remaining a Christian solely to escape the penalty of sin instead of genuinely hating sin. Think about that just for a moment. Why are you a Christian? Why are you here tonight? Why do you pray to God? Why did you become a Christian? Now, it's perhaps one thing to become a Christian to escape sin, for the beginning of knowledge of God is fear. But to a growing Christian, we're to move away from just the fear, and we are to move into wanting to actually hate sin, wanting to be more Christ-like. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? How is your heart this evening, brethren? Are you harboring a little bit of sin? And the more that you sin, that's just the more grace that God can give you. May it never be. If we're serious about our souls, if we're going to be serious about growing personally, spiritually growing this year, then we need to hate sin the way God hates it. Not just to be a Christian because you don't want to go to hell, but you're a Christian because you want to be like Christ. You want to hate sin the way that God hates it, and you want to please Him. That's where we need to be. It's a process. Are you there yet? If you're not, let's get to that place. Let me give you a fourth. Another sign of an unprepared heart is someone who rarely shares their faith with others out of fear of rejection. Well, if you're in my Sunday morning, Wednesday evening class, Becoming a Contagious Christian, you had to know this point was coming. It's important to me to say this evening, talking about this topic. A sign of somebody who has an unprepared heart is someone who has the faith, but doesn't really want to share it with anybody. Don't we remember that's one of the commandments? Don't you remember, brethren, that the hope that you have inside of you, the love of God, the love of your sins being forgiven, don't you want your friends and your family, people around your life, don't you want them to have that same hope within them? If you do, then share it. Let's not be people that just come in here and talk about how much we love God on Sundays and on Wednesdays and say, oh, we're just living in a sinful world. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Somebody else will share it with them, not me. They don't care about it, even if I did bring it up. That's an unprepared heart. That's a heart without a lot of faith. Our hearts need to have the faith that what God says is true. And when we go out and we plant the seed, it will return to Him, not void. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. May I ask you this evening to apply that to all of us? You would say, well, I've confessed Christ. I'm a Christian. Well, the confession is something we continue to do. If we have the type of heart where we think, I don't want to tell anybody. Nobody wants to hear. I don't want to ruin a relationship. I don't want to ruin a friendship. I want to ruin a family relationship. Well, then we're not really wanting to confess Christ. Jesus wants people that will go out and tell everybody about Him. Tell Him what's been done in their life. Tell Him what He's done upon the cross for their sins. Let's make sure we're the type of people that goes out and tells people exactly what Christ has done for them. And let them decide for themselves if they want to become Christ-like and be a disciple. Let me give you a final one for this evening. A sign of an unprepared heart is refusing to give your whole life and whole heart to God. I think if we were honest with ourselves, this is perhaps one of the toughest ones for all of us. Some of us are good at sharing the gospel. Some of us are good at opening up our Bible. Some of us are good at calling sin, sin in our lives. Some of us are good at a lot of these things, but a lot of us are also pretty good at only giving a certain level of our heart to God and then leaving that little compartment tucked away for ourselves. Brethren, it's something we all struggle with. I do too. But if we're going to talk about growing, if we're going to talk about conforming our heart, transforming our heart to the Word of God and being more Christ-like, then we have to do a better job at this, all of us. We have to do a better job of giving our whole life to God, all of it, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, not just when everybody's looking, but when nobody is looking. When our wives, our husbands aren't around, when children aren't around, when coworkers aren't around, are we going to lie, cheat, steal, have thoughts and be looking at things on the computer we need not be looking at? We need to give our whole life to God when nobody's looking and when everybody's looking. If we will do that, we'll have the heart that will grow this year. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. I will follow you, Lord, but first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us today, do you want to be my disciple? Do you want to be like me? Then you have no room in your life to look back at your sins and let them come back in. You have no room to go back and finish something else, to keep a part of your old life and bring it forward. You don't have any time for that. Jesus says when you are baptized, when you become Christ-like, when you become a disciple of mine, you put your hands to the plow and you continue to move forward. Not back, not bringing back sins with you, not moving a little bit forward, taking a step back this month, moving forward. Christ says, I want you and I want all of you. Be my disciple, 100%, wholeheartedly. These are my thoughts for us this evening. I think just about everything could be said of talking about transformation in the heart, but I just thought it was important for us tonight to consider these things and ask ourselves where we're at. Because really we have no chance of moving forward and growing this year to the other things we're going to be talking about over the next 11 months if we don't first start here. Is your heart ready as a child of God? I hope even if it's not, that you're at least thinking about it. You're considering these things. You're considering that you need to grow, that you need to do all of these things to transform your heart, your mind, your soul, all of you around the Word of God. Perhaps there's somebody here this evening that has the heart that wants to follow God, but is not yet a Christian. Is your heart ready to become a Christian? If it is, may I just read the words of Jesus, Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. I don't want a single person in this room to be condemned. I want to see every one of you go to heaven. But have you believed? Have you been baptized to have the remission, the release of your sins? If you have not and your heart's ready, come to Jesus tonight. Confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent, walk away from sins, and allow your obedience in baptism to make you a child of God, clean of your sins. Can we help you with that tonight? If we can help you with any spiritual need, we ask you to come forward, make it known as we stand and sing.